was telling Travis the other day, we were coming back from somewhere, job, and I was telling him, I said, you know the scripture, you can go ahead and start it, Beth, whenever, no hurry. But it's time to increase. God's going to increase you. Hallelujah. I was going to preach down some other lines, but God began to bring this up in my spirit. But I was telling him, and this is the reason why, you know, we have opportunities all the time if we're around people. People that's not around people don't have this kind of opportunities to develop and grow. I look at trials as opportunities. You know, you have to renew your mind to that mindset. Once you get that mindset, then it's just automatic to you. This is just a test, you know, and it ain't always the devil. But I was telling Travis, this one job, we'd done a big building about a year ago or whatever. And this guy, every time we have to go back there, it's not realistic, you know, what the guy's looking at and all that. And I've developed to the point to where, and I'm challenged with it at times, but anyhow, you hate to hear that when we got to go back, right? It's just one of them that you'll dread or whatever. It may not be jobs with you, but I've learned, I've developed this, that I can deal with an issue with somebody and the Holy Spirit will help you. And 3 minutes later, I can talk to you and you'll never know we had an issue. How many knows you got victory when you get there? When you get to that place, but you got to renew your mind to God's word, you got to know that no weapons formed against you will prosper, that everybody's not a devil. And if they're being used the devil, don't get on that. Stay over here in the arena of faith. You stay over here. This is how you increase. See, Satan, he tries to use those opportunities to steal the word out of your heart. Not just, and when I say increase, I'm talking about I'm believing for my marriage to increase. Amen? I'm believing for my relationships with my kids and my grandkids, hallelujah, to increase and get better and better. I'm believing to leave an inheritance to my children's children. These are biblical statements in the Bible that are there for us. But then we've got to use character to get there, to those. Character of God, hallelujah. And, you know, I was telling Travis, you know, this one place we went to, and I can always tell, you know, he hates to go and all of that stuff because it's unrealistic. But see, it really don't matter whether it's unrealistic or not. That's not the point. Nonsense, I'll use that word. Nonsense what some people do, okay? You know, it shouldn't happen. See, we can come up with all of these reasons why that we're not stable if we're not careful. Or we can take all of these things that are coming to us and we can get steadfast, unmovable, unshakable in the things of God. And so I went, and my mind was already made up. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And so the guy meets us out there. We walk in, and he goes and shows me nonsense. And I tell him there ain't nothing wrong with him. He said, oh, I kind of thought that. I catch, you know. He said, how much do I owe you? I said, oh, you don't owe me nothing, man. Don't worry about it. And I walked out of that building, and I walked out of that building in the spirit. I mean, the minute I started walking out of that building, that's not the first time. See, God wants you in a place, and I was telling Travis when we started down the road, I said, see, that's increase to me. Not money. Peace. Faith, when you leave there, you ain't changed a bit, ain't nothing changed. You still going forward. You ain't discouraged. You don't feel defeated. You just know, glory to God, that greater things are ahead of you. And those are just testimonies to you in your heart and glory from your heart to God that He's able to do abundantly above, greater than we think or ask. As I was telling Travis, I said, you know, I said, that's what the Apostle Paul, I believe, was talking about whenever the Holy Spirit went and told him these things, you're going to be in shipwreck. You're going to be, he told him the things that he was going to go through. And then he said, but none of these things move me. And then I quoted the rest of that scripture. Because Paul, I said, and this is why Paul could say that. Because Paul said after that, he said, I count not my life dear unto myself. See, what Paul was saying is, I don't take nothing personal. I don't let nothing get to me. I don't let my kids get to me. I don't let my grandkids get. I don't let my mama get to me. I don't let my daddy get. None of these things move. Why? Selfishness is there. So I said, the only reason that I would be upset about that job is because it messed with my will. Right? Inconvenience. Nothing. I have found out in this life that nothing is it, never at a convenient time. You ever had it convenient when your wife's acting up? Oh, it's just convenient, honey. Go right ahead. This is wonderful. I come right in from doing all I do, hardship, and you're being out of shape. This is great. Never. Or wives, come in, your husband comes in and he's been meditating on somebody or something all day. Or customers, and he's coming in, he's slapping the walls with his tongue about them. You don't say, how convenient, baby. This is wonderful. Our kids and our grandkids, they think that we restrict them. See, nothing's convenient to them if it's not doing their own will. See, but when you lose your will, the more that we lose our will to God's will, I'm telling you, the freer we get. I walked out in the Spirit. I walked out walking in. We're in the Spirit, Johnny. People are trying to get in the Spirit. No, just get out of the flesh and you're in the Spirit because you're born again. We don't try to get in the Spirit. We're born again. We're in the Spirit. We got to get in the flesh to get out of the Spirit. We got to yield to it. Hallelujah. God's going to increase. I'm telling you, this church, I prophesied it to you, and I know it to be so. I am anointed to preach this Bible to teach you to prosper. I'm anointed. God does it. I just preach the Bible about that. I can't help it. Marriage, everything. I don't just talk about money. You know, money's in there. You know, money's all through the Bible. Well, I joined this little pastors to pastors thing on there. You know, it says follow or like or whatever. I thought, well, that might be good. So I go in there, Johnny, you know, and I go in there, and somebody said, I don't believe a pastor ought to get paid. And I thought, God, a bum, here we go. Here we go. I can't get fed off of Facebook. That's why I say, you know, Facebook is not the place to be fed. Facebook is the place to where you can get contrary to this really quick. I'm talking about real quick. Because you got, and so they started in there, and one says, well, you know, a workman's worthy of his hire. Well, and some of them said, well, Jesus wasn't paid. And so I thought, oh, this is, so I scrolled off of it, you know. And I thought, I got scripture that I can put in there. But you can put scripture and they just jump right over it and go on with their stuff. Right? That tells you a lot about that group right there. That they not going to hear the truth. They don't have any, they're not willing. They jump over that word. Now, we as believers, sound believers, stick with this Bible. Guy told me today, I went to Sneed and done some work this morning, and I thought, well, I'll go over at that little restaurant. Well, it was this guy over at the restaurant, you know, and he knows me and all that, and he said, well, I am the church. I said, you are not the church. I thought, man, why can't I just go and get me some breakfast? And just eat me three eggs over medium with some sausage and biscuit and just leave and be, you know, be content and all of that, you know. And I'm sitting there and I thought, no, I'm not going to argue with him, but I'm not going to agree with ungodliness. I'm not going to argue with him. Stay at home. Don't go to church. We, far as I'm concerned, that's none of my business. But I told that guy, I said, you are not the church. I said, that building is not the church. I said, you are only a member of the body. I said, the church is the ones that gathers tonight, which you won't, because you are it. About tried to ruin my breakfast. And I'm like, I'm not here to preach, but what I'm saying is, that came to challenge me. See, when that comes, if you get in agreement with that, or you, well, it don't matter. No, you got to come back with the Word of God, because if you don't, a little leaven will leaven your lump. It'll start getting in you when you get into trial. You won't have it till you get in the trial. You'll get in the trial and you'll be, oh, gee. I had two $100 bills for the one that didn't show up to church tonight in my pocket. I forgot my wallet. And I told Teresa, man, I forgot my wallet. She said, what is it? I said, I need some money. How much you need? I said, well, I need $200. I said, I feel like the Lord told me to give it. And I was on the porch sweeping it off, and I had this thought, if they don't come, I keep it. And then I thought, nah, I could call them up, you know, if they don't show up. And the Lord said, nope. He said, they missed the blessing. If they don't show tonight, they don't get it. I thought, man. No place I'd rather be. And I thought about Timo. I thought, see, in the house tonight, I just told you some powerful stuff if you didn't get nothing else. Because you got in-laws you deal with. You got friends. You got neighbors. You got relatives. You got people at Walmart. You've got people everywhere that will rub your flesh side. They don't know it. But they'll rub you. God makes sure that we have opportunities to get that out of us, to where we're flexible. See, I was a young Christian, and I was sitting and I was reading the Bible, Johnny. Everybody was over there telling their jokes, whether they were good or not, don't know. But I'm over there by myself, and I'm spending some time with the Lord, just reading my New Testament. And I'm reading, you know, and I don't even remember what it, but I happened to look up and I looked across. I was over on 160 over. I happened to look across. I was just spending time with the Lord. I happened to look across and there was a little patch of pine tree, young pine trees. And I watched them little pine trees. They go down nearly, I mean, the wind was blowing pretty hard, straight line. And they'd blow over and I mean, they'd just blow clean over and then quit blowing. They'd stand right back up. And the Lord spoke to me. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, if you are not flexible, you will break. He said, but if you are flexible, what that means is I've got to be willing to not have my will all the time. I do it at home. I go in and I got my plans to go over yonder and do that and that and that. And I was telling Teresa this the other day. I don't know if she knew it or not. I've worked on it and trying still to work on it. Going to, because I'm not going to break. I'm going to increase in God. I'm going to get stronger in God. I'm going to get stronger in His strength. When I'm weak, I yield to Him and I'm strong. Amen. It don't say let the weak say that I'm strong because you're always going to be weak. It said let the weak say that I'm strong. That means you're, whatever you say is going to happen for you. Well, you know, I've went home at times and want to go do this and that and that. And Dre said, well, we need to go do this. And I'm like, what, when? And she's like, well, right now. And I'm telling you, at one time, I would get mad right then. You ain't thought about my plans. You ain't thought about what I had, you know. And now I'm at the place, that's been 30 years ago. It didn't take me 30 years to work on it. Working on it means you're doing something every time. You're doing something to change it. working on it. That's what that means. I'm going to do something to change it. Because if I'm always working on it, it never gets fixed. I mean, Teresa, yesterday, and I'm up there doing my thing and all of that, you know, working on that truck that I've been through trials with, got the bed on, I'm at the finishing stage. And she hollers up at me while I'm working on it after I'd got off of work. And she said, "Don't forget my truck door." Doris tore it up. She didn't say that. And Johnny, I had this thought. Can't she see that I'm busy? And I thought, that's not mine. That's what it's talking about. Take no thought saying. Check your thought. And I said, okay. I told Aiden, I said, let's go. Where are we going? I said, we're going to fix Grandma's door. I just dropped what I was doing. I wasn't finished. I dropped what I was doing. Why? Because I'm a wise man. Amen. I go down there and fix that door and go on in. She has supper cooked for us here in a little while. Hallelujah. You know what? I could have took that one and got a divorce over it. I've seen it happen. Not flexible. People not flexible. You've got to be flexible. It's time for us to increase spiritually, financially. If you've got an ailment in your body, don't just sit there and say, well, the doctor says, and, you know, don't Google it. Had a guy's mama died one time and with cancer. He started feeling symptoms like he thought she had. So he goes to the doctor. He goes to church here. He goes to the doctor. And they tell him, they do all the scans and all that, and he ain't got no cancer. He still feels the symptoms. So he goes to Googling it. And he Googles it, and he's feeling everything. He's convinced that he's got it. So he goes back to his doctor, and he convinces the doctor. That is terrible. Terrible. You know what drove him? Fear. The Bible says that God has not given you a spirit to lay down to sickness. Fear it. You whip it. What does it mean when Jesus said it on the cross, it is finished? Not just salvation, my financial future, your financial future, my health, right? My marriage, my relationships with you guys, my ministry, whatever God's called you and called me to do and be, He's already equipped us in the spirit realm. And there's places we're walking with God and there's supply and breakthroughs and we're going like this and it's here and we're headed this way and Satan's trying to come in to stop it. Because he knows when you get to a certain point, he don't know where the point is, that the breakthrough is going to be there for you because he knows how our God is. And so you've got to be flexible. I didn't say be willing to yield to things that are not good, but concerning you got to be flexible toward the Word of God. Hallelujah. Quick to turn to the Word of God. Quick to stand on the Word of God. If I go to a doctor, I go in the name of Jesus. I don't go with the mercy of the doctor. Why? Because the Bible says go in His name. Right? Go in His name. Go in His authority, hallelujah. If I go to the doctor, I'll tell the Lord, thank you, Lord, that your anointing is on the doctor. I'm relying on the doctor because I didn't realize the doctors only have what they've been to college and studied, and some of them turn to the book or the internet on the study on the symptoms. I find that out firsthand with my doctor, and I thought, man, he needs me. I could go in there and tell him he needs a penicillin pill. You know, if I study his book, he tells me all the symptoms and all that. Well, I wasn't down in him. You know, But what I'm saying is, I realized at that point, praise God, I've got to have faith in God. Because that I'm not, if I'm at the mercy of medicine and the doctors, there's no cure for stuff. But healing is real. It's more real than the medicine. So if you've got some kind of ailment in your body, well then, if you need to, write the scriptures down and say it. Out because of this right here that Jesus done on the cross, the Bible tells me that by them stripes that he took and when he hung on that cross, he sealed my healing in his own blood. And I receive it just like if somebody gives me a gift, I receive it. That's how you take it. And then you get up and your body says, yep, you didn't get it. And you just say, come on, leg. I had to drag my leg one time, man. My body didn't want to go to work and I made it. Seriously. That's what walking by faith is. I got up. I didn't ask my body how I felt. I was excited to go to work, got up that morning, stepped down on the ground, and when I raised my foot up, a sharp pain runs up through like you stuck a knife clean up through your leg, man. It happened at the hospital, then it happened again that day, and I thought, oh, man. And I mean, I thought, there's no way I can go to work with it. I can't, and I thought, it's not in the Bible. See, that's why you need the Bible verse on it. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. What you think you can't do, go. And he will strengthen you. Until you go, he can't strengthen you. You're waiting on the strength, but that's not faith. Believe you receive the strength and go because you believe. And then that is when it starts to happen. That's when things are released. Hallelujah. How many knows it's not a time to decrease? It's not a time. Like Samantha, you know, take a picture of her. I don't know what she means. I know what Teresa means. Take a picture of me. Well, they're not going to be the same what they are right now. Hallelujah. That is great. That's called vision. That's called desire. And then doing something about it. I done heard her praying. She tells us about it, praying. Not going back to bed when Johnny goes to work, whatever. She's doing something different, getting better results. Well, just walking that word out every day is doing something different than the world. I'm telling you, the world's jacked up. Did y'all see the state, them last night, you know, when Donald Trump bringing State of the Union address or whatever. It showed very clearly who's for America and who's not. Very clear that's the way Christians are. It's very clear to people that are out in the world who's serving God and who's not. Everybody might not see me, but these people that know me, that I don't even know knows me, that knows that I serve the Lord. Not because I am super perfect, because I'm not. I got flaws and all of that. I'm changing it. Hallelujah. But you know, kind of like Johnny, you know, we don't toot our own horn. You don't toot your own horn. People want you to pray. It's because they see something in you that they know is real. That's why they ask you to pray. You know, I mean, I'm back down yonder and I'm just after Jesus. I'm going to church three days a week. I'm tired toting sheetrock, even though I'm young, doing all that. But I'm fighting my battles to go to church, and I'm having to put God first. Still do it today. I have to do it. Everybody has to seek first the kingdom if they want the kingdom. Everybody has to do it. They think pastors don't have to do it. Well, they do. They have to choose every day to take up the cross and follow the Lord concerning ministry. They have to make up their mind. Are they going to surrender to defeat, or are they going to go feed the sheep? Right? I'm talking about the right ones. I'm not talking about all them out there that's hirelings. They come and they go, and that dude tells me, I'm going to two churches right now. I started telling him, that tells me what kind of unfaithful man you are. But I didn't. I spared him. I said, all you've done, but to him, that made him look like he's doing something. No, that I thought to myself, I thought that shows me a double-minded man that is unstable in all of his ways, according to the book of James. See, we can look at people in the world and even Christians and become wise because we know the word. Don't let it confuse us. Don't let it cause us to get judgmental. Let it cause us to say, I'm not going to be in that manner. I'm going to walk this way. I'm going to do this. And it's not about us trying to show off. It's about we're walking with God and we want God's benefits. We want God's angels watching over us. We want His protection. We want His favor on our lives. We want His favor on our businesses. We want His favor where we work. And we're going to increase. Put the Psalms up there, Beth. No, don't do it. Psalm 66, 12, yeah, do it. I like this one because when I first read this and it meant something to me, I stopped to it. Me and Teresa went to a revival. I think you went with me. Anyhow, whatever, he said, I didn't see, B, you're just being stung and all of that. That was our church, I think. Well, no. That was John Adedola in 1994 or 5. And I had just run across this scripture, either somebody preached it or something, and I got it. And I thought to myself, I thought that was caused me to rise. It seemed like I was the lowest dude on the totem pole at that time. It seemed like everybody, even the sinners, was prospering but me. I mean, it just seemed like it looked like it. And then the Lord caused me to run across the scripture. The Word of God caused me to run across the scripture. See, all that I was facing in the natural was not what the truth was. But I didn't know the truth yet. Jesus said, if I continue in His word, if you abide in me, if I keep going after you and you abide in my word, He said, you shall know the truth and the truth. You'll be my disciples. That's what a disciple is. He said, then you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Free from whatever's held in you bound at that time, the truth makes you free. The Holy Spirit quickens it to you. Well, I'm reading this right here, you know, and I thought, man, being right over, went through the fire, and I thought, I'm in it now. Seemed like I was in the fire. I even had the thought for just a short period of time, I was better off before I got saved. I didn't have all of this trouble, you know. Those are thoughts that's coming from the enemy to get you to turn loose of your salvation, turn loose of your integrity, turn loose of your walk with God. That's not God. That's the enemy. He said, and it says, you went through the water, but thou broughtest out into a wealthy place. And I took hold of that. And I said, God, I said, I don't care what I'm going through. I don't care. Your word says right here that men right over my head, they went through the fire, they went through the water, but you brought them. They got to Canaan land. You hear me? They made it. Now, all of them out there don't want to go to church when you can. God tells you to go to Nineveh like He did Jonah, to a church and stay. God tells you to go and serve. When you know the will of God, you know what God wants. And of course, sometimes you have to go, but you go on and you go on and you like Nineveh. Nineveh was selfish. Nineveh thought about himself. He didn't think about that Nineveh's going to be saved, that God's got a heart after them. God wants them to hear the word. Go down there and preach the word. Well, when you're serving in the ministry that God wants you, when you're not, you are like Jonah. I don't care what you say. God told me to come here. I'm not free to evangelize anymore. I evangelized for 7 years. It was wonderful. God told me to go down here and preach. I was even told that I'm stuck here pastoring. And it kind of depressed me from that naysayer. For just a few, I thought, man, he's right. He's getting to go evangelize and all of that, you know. But I'd already had it in my heart. The faith begins where the will of God is known. And I thought, I'm in the will of God. And then all of a sudden I thought, I am blessed to be in the will of God. To be stuck in the will of God is a place of blessing. You might think sometimes you've got to go to church. You need to, I mean, that's fine. You're not doing it under the law. Go! You go anyhow. Go against all odds if you know the will of God. This world and even Christians have done away with the dedication a lot to the house of God. And they can say, well, there's going to be a great falling away. No, there is a rebellion spirit. Falling away from faith is just a little bit different than getting and walking and going in rebellion. Yeah. We're talking about increase. He said, but take that scripture. God, I've been through the water. I watched this family, your family. I give a little bit of testimony of it Sunday. Watched you through your not knowing and ignorant of some things and head knowledge. We all been there. We all go through the fire. We all go through the flood. But we trust God and we do our best to give the people that's going through it the biblical word. You give them the word of God in that. That's the only thing that's going to help them. Because the word of God is going to turn their heart to trust God. The Bible says in Jeremiah over there, it says, cursed is the man that trusteth in man, that puts their trust. I'm not talking about trusting people. I'm talking about your life. You're depending on people. And that's where it felt like when Monty and them, that's been years ago, when Monty and them was in their great, 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 great trial. That's what it's talking about. This is giving you a picture of immense trials. Fire. And I left you, Monty, I'll just be honest with you, I left up there in the cow pasture. You remember that? I got in my truck and I thought, oh, Jesus. I mean, I thought, I hope I did right. I hope I did good enough, you know. Well, I know it, but I mean, that's just the way that it was at that moment. There was not more that I could do. And I wasn't supposed to do more. And so I says, go and do what you've been trained to do. And I wasn't talking about my wisdom. Preaching the word of God and hearing the word of God. Now go, you lean on it. Lean on him. Lean on him. And today they're in victory. I mean, they're driving a really nice car. The engine blows up. They just put a new one in it. Didn't have to go to nobody. That's awesome. That is you are a trophy of the gospel right here, you and your family. I watched this family right here go through. I've watched Doris go. I've watched Sandy. I fasted one time too for 3 or 4 days. I think I went a little longer for her. That's why when I stand up here and I say, I cast y'all over on the Lord. See, that's what I teach you to do. Cast it over on the Lord. Cast all your cares over on the Lord because he cares for you. He says, be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, he's roaming to and fro looking for somebody, waiting, looking for somebody that'll yield to unbelief and fear and complaining. I mean, run day just come in, prophesied us into another level. Last time he came, he said, they're coming. They're going to be like little tulips. That's not the first time, and I'm like, when? I come tonight. Maybe it's tonight. When? Come Sunday. When? I'm not going to say, well, it's God's will, but it ain't going to happen. No, we're coming from the north, south, the east, and the west. 24 years of saying that. There's harvest coming. Amen. Hallelujah. No matter how long it takes, don't put a limit on God's promises to you. Don't put a time limit on it. You stand on the word. I didn't put a time limit on this. There come a time when I was on top of everything, but God. They come in less than a year because I was trusting in the Lord with this right here to bring me out to an abundant place. At that time, 20-something years ago, 28 years ago, at the end of that short period of time, they were coming on the streets and their moms and dads had cancer and they wouldn't come out on the streets because they went to church and all of that, and it would not look good for them because they was in the bigger churches. So they wait till I'm packing up and everybody's gone and come in. Write me checks and stuff. I thought, I don't care how they get it, just get it to me. What I'm saying is that scripture played out. It played out, but God, and I thought, I don't care what people think, and I'm not going to get bitter with people, but God, I'm here to do the will of God, hallelujah, and God, your will is more important than anything else. And I saw signs, wonders, and miracles. I got a sister coming to church here. Her husband, they were going to cut his foot off with gangrene, and I was on a fast, and God told me to go over and pray. Well, see, I could have been a little lone ranger about that time, Johnny, and thought, well, I am the church. Ain't nobody. God gave me this ministry and quit the church. I could have done it. They even wanted me to go pastor and this and that. I'm not telling you my story. I'm telling you Satan tries to get you out of the will of God, out of your marriage. He don't want you to train your kids up the way they should go. He don't want me telling my grandkids about Jesus. He don't want you when your kids get up teenage years, 20. If Travis was living in my house at 21 years old, he would be going to church. I had one of my sisters one time, they said, well, you know, you're just, you know, he's poor, that poor kid of yours. You've got him in a spiritual prison. I looked at her and I said, well, I don't reckon I ask you how to raise him. I wasn't trying to be ugly with my sister. But you know what? Her kids went on, got into all kinds of trouble and stuff and all of that. Hallelujah. And praise God, Travis didn't. If he was 21, he'd live in my house right now, which he ain't. Because he'd be a lot different. It's not that you're being bossy and all of that. You have an obligation from God. It's not about their emotions. I had some people go in here and they started saying, well, I want to be their friend. I told both of them straight up to their face, I said, your kids don't need a friend, they need parents. A friend will let them go off over yonder and do stuff you won't let them do. A friend will let them lay out of church because they understand how you feel. I said, but a parent will command them to do what they're supposed to do because they know it's the will of God for them, and it will save them. It will save the kids from prison and from all kinds of stuff. Hallelujah. Praise God. Deuteronomy 8:18. It says, but thou shalt remember all the time. Monty, let us remember. All day. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, we got Wednesday, we can eat a little and rest. Thursday and Friday and Saturday, remember the Lord your God. For it is Him that gives you the ability to prosper. The ability to be the father, the man of God that you ought to be, the mother of God, the husband, the wife. It said as He gives you power to get wealth that He may establish His covenant with you and financially. Why, you know, I think about it a lot. I told Teresa the other day, I said, people can get mad if they want to, this stuff I got out of the Bible. I told Teresa the other day, I said, I'm going to be a millionaire. I'm just a Blount County boy born again. Right? I told her, I said, it's not even about the money. I said, it's in here. I said, it's in here. It's in me to prosper. I said, well, ain't that what the Bible says? That it's him that works in you, right? Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Well, you know what he said? I found the scripture. It's God's good pleasure to prosper his service. Pleases God. And so she is one favored woman to be hooked up to this man. And I am one favored man to be hooked up to that woman. Amen? Because whenever I was like Monty, back down, way down yonder, April's getting 70-something books out of here and whooping you up and down. Every time you said something, she wanted to cut your tongue out at times. She'd tell you, don't say that, keep that mouth, blah, blah. I've heard her in here. Nothing knocking. That's the way she was. She getting in that word, and she getting full of that word. She's reading chapter after chapter. She's downloading Keith Moore, Moore Life Ministers, when you had to dial up, when it took you 4 and 5 hours to get one downloaded. That's integrity. 4 and 5 hours to get that sermon. And then I'm trying to remodel the house and she wants to listen. And I'm like, not now. I'm trying to think. I wouldn't say that.
This here is on marriage.
I'm like, marriage? We got one. We're married. And so she's playing them on marriage. And I begin to, scripture begin to, but she was like that. Thank God for our women that is on fire for God. That not they wasn't trying to hurt us. There was just like you spitting that doubt out in this house. Shut that up. Spitting that out, what are we going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, what are we going to do? Shut up. I've been listening to a sermon. You're trying to steal my joy. Then you come on up, praise God, together, like Johnny was talking about, iron sharpens iron, praise God, and two walks together in agreement. A threefold cord can't be broken. You've got the Holy Spirit. I've got my wife, and we're three. Y'all three. You got the church, you come together. Your people go to church, they're in the building, but they're not in it. There's a difference. Once you hook up, once you gear up, I'm in the will of God and I'm here. Like old Mac, he talking to me one day and I don't know, back under when all that stuff was going on, riding January 6th and all that. He said, I can tell you, if it gets bad here, he said, I'm not supposed to have a gun, but I'll get one and I'll get out on front lines with you. Like that, and I said, well, Mac, I appreciate that, but I'm thinking, man, you ain't going to shoot people. We don't, you know. But what I'm saying is his heart. He was engaged. He's like, man, if they get to you, they got to go through me. That's what I'm talking about. He wasn't slapping a bunch of words out there. He meant what he was saying. He wasn't even thinking about that. He was just thinking about, but why? Because he's connected. See, that right there, once you get in that connection with your heart, then you're in connected to the will of God, you're connected to the favor of God, you're connected to the anointing that is on that ministry, and I'm not just talking about this one. I'm talking about all those that are engaged going forward in the will of God. Those people that God puts there, when they connect their hearts and all that, they will be sick, but you'll see them come out. They'll be broke, but you'll see them come out to that wealthy place. But why? Because their heart is after God. He said, blessed are those that trust in him. Give me that Psalms. Let's see. What else I got there? Oh, Deuteronomy 18 here. God spoke to me back years ago and he said, see, this is a divine empowerment. He said, this empowerment that causes you to obtain wealth, he said, is an empowerment. You know what it does? It causes you to be the best where you are. It causes you to shine when everybody else ain't shining. It causes you to have wisdom that God gives you that everybody don't have. It causes the favor of God is on you. It causes you to increase. I was telling Sandy about Robert. He sells them German Shepherds, you know. He sold them things years, 200, 250, 250. And then Sandy, she's in that Bible and in, under increase and prosperity and all of that. And she's teaching him, you know. And then she goes over there. I don't know what the conversation, but somehow she convinced him to go up to $400 or $500. He's selling the dogs just the same as he was for $500. Why? The empowerment. He's a Christian. He's serving God. You ain't got to know all the principles that can actually mess you up. Just take the word. When God quickens it to you, lay hold of it and run with it. Don't turn it loose. Just don't turn it loose. Hallelujah. Give me that Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. It says, blessed. That word blessed means happy, fortunate, prosperous. How can you not prosper? I mean, the word of God right here. This is the AM Amplified Classic. I just figured out what it was. Beth told me what it was, and I figured it out. It just says AMPC when I'm studying. So I just put in there AMPC, you know. And so I told her, put that in AMPC. She said, that's an Amplified Classic. I said, oh, well, okay, just put it on the Amplified Classic. I didn't care what it was, Monty, it was good. I didn't really care. It says happy, fortunate, prosperous, what does that say? Yeah, everybody wants to be like us, Johnny. I don't even know what that word, how to spell it much, but I know what it means. Is the man who walks and lives in the counsel, not in the counsel of the ungodly. See, following their advice, just like them. You don't have to go to church to be a good Christian. We're not supposed to get paid as pastors. I didn't for a long time. I didn't ask for it. He started paying me. Right? I didn't demand no money. I'm laying my life down for the God, but boy, is he good. Oh! Teresa told me, she's secretary. She told me one time we get about $400 or $500 a month. She said, it's looking like it's not going to be here this month. I said, I rebuke it. I said, that's not going to happen. And Jesus, and I left out and I said, Lord, thank you. You said you would supply. That's what you do when your paycheck ain't what it ought to be and it ain't lining up and your light bill went up and the interest rates went up and the unexpected stuff. You just keep on the same word you had when you was happy. Right? When it changed, the changes that take place are created. They're made to take us higher. He said that lives not in counsel, walks not in the counsel of them. That's people talking to you about the Lord, the things of the Lord, what they think, their opinion. I got many opinions. I'm just not going to be a fool and give them. If I give anybody anything, I'm going to make sure that it's in line with the Word of God. Whether it's my son, he wanted a tattoo. Hey, he found him some scripture. He wanted a tattoo on there. Nothing wrong with tattoos. If I want them, I'd have a sleeve like Samantha. But he was twisting the scriptures. In there, I found it. Well, he told me one time, I just can't live up to what y'all expect. I said, well, I don't expect nothing. Satan was lying to him. Satan was telling him he can't live up to the requirements that I've put on him, and I hadn't put none on him. Satan will lie. I don't try to live up to the requirements. All of y'all, God, we're going to have revival. We're going to do it. But I had that Michael Vickers called, you know, and he can't help himself. You know, he need to talk. He won't talk. Well, anyhow, he called me up and it's been coming up two or three times to him. I'm telling you this against me. Two or three times to him, you know, and I said, well, we'll take it before the Lord. He said, well, we can do it like a Friday night and a Saturday night and a Sunday night. And I thought, don't dictate when we do it. Yeah, Sunday morning. And I had that thought, you know, and I said, well, like I said, we'll take it before the Lord. I'll pray and I'll fast about it. Well, that was on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday last week. Come in here, you know, and I'm thinking, what does it mean? Thursday, Friday, and Friday. That's the weekend. That's we're off. Other than Sunday. Now I'm thinking about y'all. You know, and thinking, man, they're off. That's their off time. And I'm about, you know. Well, I didn't think that about thought. I don't know about all that. So anyways, I come and I sit down back there Sunday morning. Trying to run day. And I said, how's that? Did you get your car? I knew about the wreck. And I said, did you get your car? And blah, blah, blah. And yeah. Oh, yeah, I got all that. He said, I preached last night. He said, he asked me if I knew the pastor and all that. And I said, nah. I said, I've heard of him. I said, but I don't know him. Personally don't know him. He said, yeah. He said, for some reason, he said, fine. He said, I preached last night. He said, they do it in revival. And it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning. And I'm like, man, he just jacked me around there, Samantha. Got me. You call it double whatever. I'm sitting there and I wanted to say, why'd you say that? And then I didn't say nothing. And I got up and I thought, the traditions of men make the word of God none effect. Because I don't want to have it on Friday night. I don't want to go to church on Wednesday. You see what I'm saying? I don't want to have it on a Friday night and a Saturday. We always are used to, and the way we do it is on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Now you want to do it on the weekend. So I'm the preach. I said, I got a problem. What is it? I said, tradition. I said, and I've got another problem. What is it? I said, Satan's trying to make me a people pleaser. Y'all ain't demanding nothing. Y'all ain't said nothing about weekend off. Y'all ain't said, where'd that come from? Right? And it was challenged to me, and I thought, man, I'm not a people pleaser. Bless God, hallelujah. Looks like we're going to have it on a Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. What I'm saying, I was saying that, but see, God caused that to come up to me for me to see it. To see, and the Lord, and it's like, oh man, I can't go where God wants me to go this way. Not thinking like that. Because if God wants to start a revival on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whenever. So I just surrendered it to the God and I said, God, my heart is yours, you know. Lord, I'm sorry that maybe I got said in tradition there or whatever I did. That's how you do it. See, but the Word of God, he said, but his delight's in the Word of God. And in it does he meditate day and night. Then verse 3 says, and you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. See, I reverted to the Word of God and I changed my heart, hallelujah. I'm telling you, 2026 is your year. I'm telling you, in every area, you're going to see breakthroughs in your family, your finances, hallelujah. Your stuff's going to come in. It would take people years. Travis believed for a shop in 6 months. He had it built debt-free and didn't have the money when he started, but went and dug a hole, showing his faith to God. Started digging a hole, run into trouble, had to haul dirt, went the hard way. Went through the fire and the blood. But he could have quit when the fire got there. And I did encourage him. That's what the church does to you. Whether they know anything about you or not. God will bring Taylor, make a message and bring it. Praise God. And he'll give you a nugget and give you something to get up with and run with. Praise God. And he built that thing. He probably worth $50,000, $60,000. And he built it in about 5 or 6 months. It was finished debt free. Hallelujah. I told him, I said, man, you're in your 30s. Took me to lost 50 to get there. Seriously. Because you know why? Because I wasn't a complete doer. I wanted my way. When I felt it, I wanted it, you know. That's just the flesh, hallelujah. Praise God. But my point is, I watched him. And then I look out there and I say, there's his trophy right there. He believed for it. He couldn't see it. Went out there, got a chair set out there. Called yourself healed. He called that thing in. People say it's stupid, but I can ride over there and get you a picture of it. And you can call it stupid, but I call it his victory. Yeah. Hallelujah. I call it his victory. Faith is the victory. Hallelujah. Praise God. So be expecting God's favor. Be expecting God to increase you. Hallelujah. And when God shows you something, praise God, is that he wants change, just yield to him. Just yield to him, praise God, and go on. I mean, move on into it. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord,